Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here again this week. And exciting time of year. Today, we are actually going to be focusing our entire show on a very, very special, important issue that's worldwide. And we're going to focus in on Hawaii and general information. So listen in if you'd like to call in today. Our number is 347-945-5428. 347-945-5428. And as always, the time flies by, so you won't be surprised if we don't take any commercial breaks, but we'll see. And the show today is about the homeless. You know, there's so many people, so many issues, so many people going through roller coaster rides, different issues they don't talk about, and no matter what, we all need a place to call home. I think lots of times stereotyping people, we think, well, homeless are out there and maybe somebody has other issues or maybe they put themselves out there. And I think be amazed at how many people have no choice. There's so many different situations that come up, job losses, home, you know, domestic violence, just it goes on and on and on. And there's two people that I know very well, too, which I'm so privileged to have the honor of having on our show today and discussing these very serious issues. Charlie and Diana Lorenz. Charlie's the executive director of FeedingHawaiiToday.org, Feeding Hawaii Together, to Feeding Hawaii Together, and you can find them at FeedingHawaiiTogether.org. And Diana Lorenz is the assistant executive director. And we're going to find about a lot of things today that I bet you are not known when it comes to homeless and what they're doing. They've dedicated years to helping thousands of people feed many, many homeless, and it's not always what you think. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Charlie and Diana Lorenz. How are you two doing today?
Doing great, Natalie. Thank you for having us on the show.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, you definitely do things in excellence, so we all try to do that. So thank you very much.
You definitely are two angels that have been brought here to help people, and you've done it for years. And tell us a little bit about how you two got started in feeding the homeless and taking care of the homeless, because you've been doing it for a long time. And
we've been doing it since 1993, and I was homeless when I was 15, all the way through to 18. So I did find sometimes during those 3 years that I was able to live in people's homes, but not for long. And mostly I slept under park benches and park restrooms, and had sleeping bags all over the island plastic bags and everything. And so in 1990 we got ordained as pastors, and we started this alcohol drug rehab residential treatment center. And because that's when I was homeless, I was making the money that I had came from selling drugs. So, and then when I got into the Bible, without any help from any church or anything, I just didn't even know how to go to church. I just started reading the Bible. I just got totally delivered from alcohol and drugs, and it was quite a good experience. So we were reluctantly accepting that position, residential treatment, and it was so we both lived on the property. Well, what happened was it was men only, and we had these families coming up there. What we call devotion nights for on Tuesdays, and when they came up there, they were just like really hungry, and they didn't have much food, and all the clients that had, you know, wives and kids in that predicament wanted to leave the program because now they're feeling responsible because they're clean and sober. We're telling them it's too soon. So what I did was I went down to Diana and I went down to Food for Less, and we talked to the manager, and the manager took me into this huge room that had all this damaged goods, and he said, "You can have all of this if you want it." And I said, "I'll take it all except for the alcohol and the tobacco." And he says, "Oh, but you don't need diapers." And I told him, "No, these guys, they have little babies, you know, the mother's still taking care of the babies off property, so we could take that too." So we just took loads and loads and loads up to the facilities, and it fed us too, you know, all of the people that's up there. But mostly what we did was we whenever they came up there on Tuesday nights and sometimes Saturdays, we opened it up for that too. Then we would just load their trunks just full, and their back seats and everything full of food. The cars were like low riders going out of the facility, you know. So that's when we discovered that there really is a need for food. And, you know, homeless at our facilities over here at FeedingHawaiiTogether.org, we do allow homeless to shop 3 days a week because, you know, it's hard for them to hang on to their food. They get food, they go eat it, they go sleep, and then it gets stolen from them and stuff like that. So we just tell them, you know, if you see someone stealing your food, just tell them they can come and get it for themselves too, you know.
Aww.
So, but then we had a kind of shock when we were thinking, you know, that, you know, maybe there's other people that's hungry too, that has a roof over their head. So we went in, we went to these all these projects that have managers, you know, and went and talked to the managers and asked the managers, you know, if they had anybody hungry in their facilities and in their buildings. And they said, "Yeah, probably." And I said, "Well, if you give us a rec deck or something like that, we can box some food and bring it over here and you know, tell them about what we do." And because what we do is we let people come in and shop and they pick out what they want. So the box of food was just like an example of what they could get. And first low income housing that we went to, we took 75 boxes and we had to go back and make about 75 more. And we just told them, you know, "No, we're not going to bring your boxes anymore. You guys got to come to the facilities and come to FeedingHawaiiTogether.org and you can shop for your own food." And that, it's a limit on waste. They go through like a little Walmart kind of a thing. You know, we have furniture, we have school supplies, we have clothing and perishable foods, non-perishable foods, all kinds of stuff. So basically what we're doing is also keeping people from going homeless, because, you know, these elderly people, Social Security, and people that are unemployed or underemployed all of a sudden, you know, they really need to know that somebody cares, you know. Yeah, so that's very important.
They come in though, and it's like they get everything and it's for free, right? But you have a system where they can actually keep coming back, coming over and over.
Yes.
That's
They can come once a week, pay for anything. Everything is free. But there's limits, you know. The limits are good, our goal is to fill their cupboards and freezers and refrigerators with good food, just like a normal gainful employed person. And so it's the homeless is a big part of it, and then there is a bigger part with the unemployed and the Social Security and the underemployed and people that are just struggling. And it's really, really, really sad.
And they would be homeless. I mean, if they don't have the money, they're just barely having the money to pay for the roof over their head. And then if you add the food and others to it, they don't have enough. So they're going to go hungry or homeless or both, right? That's,
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what we have found. So mostly, you know, we definitely welcome anyone that is in the low-income bracket. And our United States Department of Agriculture actually has a guideline of who is low-income. And just to let you know, they consider one person that earns $23,000 a year as low-income. And just stating $23,000 a year, a lot of your listeners and yourself kind of realize there is a lot of people out there just earning that much because of our minimum wage. And we use the word shop, but, you know, that everything is free here. It's just like a grocery store. They walk through with a shopping cart and actually pick out produce, everything, just like a grocery store. So it gives them a good diet as well. And limits, you know, it's like a family of one or a family of two, you know, they get so much. But a family of five may get a little bit more because they're a family of five or over. And they always can come here once a week, giving them peace of mind that they can still keep their roof over their head and still have food. So we're sustaining a lot of people not to become homeless. Two definitions. There's the houseless and there's the homeless. The homeless is usually those ones that you see are chronic, that have a certain situation that they just can't seem to get off the streets. But there is the houseless, the ones that are just trying their best, living from paycheck to paycheck, trying to save money for that first month's rent and security deposit, or actually obtaining the documents that they need, such as an ID to get housing. So there's two different groups of people that you'll see out there.
Houseless and homeless. Wow, that's I bet there's a lot of people that are homeless that no one knows are homeless that actually go to work every day. You know, go maybe take showers.
Absolutely.
I don't know, somewhere else. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's whole homeless camps that on the Waianae side that they have people there as security watching all their stuff, and this is all internal. And then the other ones go to work and the kids go to school and things like that.
Mm.
And they're fairly clean, you know. It's amazing how they take care of themselves. And that's probably one of the best models for a homeless shelter, you know, where I think the best model for a homeless shelter is this one that's in New York that this husband and wife got this building, and they brought in all these homeless people, and they interviewed them all, and trying to figure out what their talents are, you know, construction or electricity or whatever, you know, and, you know, people skills and things like that. And they've never hired any professional people to come into that building at all. It's just the husband and wife, and it's a huge building, and it's full all the time. And so all the homeless, they are the workers, you know, there's security in there. There's, I mean, you name it, every need is met, you know, psychological and everything. I mean, you'd be surprised what kind of people, are homeless, you know.
They're taking ownership, right? They're taking ownership of the building then, I guess, right? Pretty much.
They're taking ownership,
like they
and they have pride.
Right.
You know? Yeah, it gives them pride, you know, because they're doing something good. So even over here, you know, we never turn away a volunteer. So even a homeless person, we've got homeless people volunteering here.
Wow,
you know,
that's fantastic.
So it's, yeah, and a lot of times they end up getting a job. We had a number of people that came in homeless and volunteered on a regular basis, and then they come up to me and says, I got bad news. I said, oh, what's your bad news? They say, well, I can't volunteer anymore. I said, why not? Oh, I got a job. I said, that's not bad news.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the best news we could have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, if the homeless is, say, they're under the bridge or they're Y&I, do they talk amongst people and people they get to know to come to the pantry or?
Well, yeah.
They find out about it?
They network. Yeah, they're, because it, you know, they're seeing these people going into these homeless camps with, you know, carrying bags of food. And they're saying, where did you get that food? So they tell them.
Wow.
And, yeah, so we get a lot of homeless.
Do they have to have an ID, though? Like, if you register them, what if somebody doesn't have any ID or cards or anything? Can they just come in and take food, or do they have to?
Well, ID is asked for, but it's not required, because a lot of our people on this either get it lost or stolen. And so if we require the ID, they can't even get food. So we ask for the ID because it's just kind of easy to see their name, because sometimes, you know, like me, I'm not a very good speller. So when they tell me their name, I like to see it in print so I can find them in our database, or if they're brand new, get them into our database. So ID is important for everyone to have. See, that's another obstacle that a lot of these people do have, is that when they get it lost or stolen, it can cost close to $100 to obtain that again. If it's lost or stolen, I have heard through the grapevine that they can go to our Department of Transportation and get it replaced, because it's lost or stolen if it hasn't expired. But if you need a new ID, it alone costs $40. If you've lost your birth certificate and you're born in the mainland, that can cost up to $60 to obtain. Then you have to have two letters of residence and your Social Security card. Not all originals. They cannot be copies. So you can
that's
see
really difficult.
Sometimes, yeah, so getting all that may take months just to obtain a ID, which is important. You have to have that for housing. You have to have that for financial assistance. You have to have that to either fly out of Hawaii to go back to your family if need be. So now I know the airport does take the police report if it was stolen as an ID. So there's
A
lot of people. Yeah, a lot of people don't know a lot of these things, so they think they're stuck. So to get the information out to them is our social workers that are out there trying their best to communicate to these people, and a lot of them are fearful of them, and so we have to just break that fear, you know. So this is what some people do face. But here we notice that, yes, they get it lost or stolen, and we still want them to be able to eat. So we ask for it, but it's not required. Because there's even another group of people that are people that are just being released from our prisons. You know, they serve their time and they want to go on and do better. But our prison system actually releases them without IDs. So
how's
here you have someone out on the street.
I mean, how's that possible? Why don't they make sure they have it before they release them?
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, that's what we have actually, you know, approached one lieutenant governor to say, why don't you do this? And I don't understand why they don't do it. But this is just another group of people that's out there. The parole officers are telling them to get a job, start doing things better, but no ID. So I have to really appreciate a lot of agencies like Caravan on Wiley Avenue and churches. They're helping people get IDs and helping all they can and so forth, these people. And so I send appreciation out to these groups of people, because we're all trying to meet these people's needs. But it takes time, and you see a lot of it on TV right now. And a lot of people don't know, how can I help? Well, you can help by financially helping you know, agencies like this. They're helping them try to get the word out to them and sustain them. You know, so that's how you can help.
How have you done it all these years? I mean, you have to apply for grants and funding, and how do you get the donations? Because I know, well, there's like the Red Cross, right, and different places that people go to, and you hear stories of just different stories. So how do you do it? And if you maintained it for all these years, it's got to be really difficult.
Yeah, it is difficult, and we've been on the verge of closing a number of times, and it's really amazing that, you know, our budget is really low. Our monthly budget is something like what is it, Dinah? $2,000 a month or something?
Well, our run rate is about $1,500, but then to run everything, rent and so forth, would be $15,000 a month.
Yeah, so $15,000 a month.
But then that's go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so it's like we're, you know, always on the edge of closing. And the thing is that most of the food, well, all of the perishable food that we give away would end up in landfills if we weren't doing it. And
right.
And then we're also capturing all kinds of appliances and full-size appliances and small appliances and clothing and everything. And a lot of that would end up in landfills too. So
well, where
we're
the
capturing.
Food? Is the food's donated?
Well,
everybody donates food or what? I'm sorry.
Yeah, a lot of people will donate food, and we've had military people and all kinds of people that do food drives for us, and Aloha Harvest, they come and deliver sometimes daily, and then Hawaii Food Bank, they deliver twice a week on Wednesdays and on Mondays. So last year we gave away 3,162,605 pounds of food. And so that was to basically 700 clients, and they basically were taking out on an average 59 pounds of food every time they shop, and they could shop once a week. So you know, and it ranges, you know, from like Dana was saying about the income level, you know, and the income level is a sliding scale. So the $20,000 that she was talking about, that's just for a single person. But a family of two, three, and we got a sliding scale that goes all the way up to eight people in the family, and it's pretty generous sliding scale for the USDA. It's better than the welfare. Welfare is like they want you to really, really be, you know, hurting really bad before
right.
they can help you. But
wow.
Anyway, so and then you have the people that are, you know, they're single and they're on Social Security. And they have Medicare, Medicaid, and whatever, and they'll pay their rent because they're scared to death to be homeless, and then they don't even have enough money to buy all their medication. So we try to get food stamps for
wow.
them, and we tell them, you know, come and shop. Don't spend any money on food stamps in the first of the month. Just come in and shop and put everything in the cupboards, refrigerator, and freezer. And then, now this is for people that have houses, though, of course.
Right, right.
And
right.
And then what they do is make a list of what they need and want, and then go spend food stamps on that. So a 4-week month or a 5-week month, they do that 4 or 5 times every month. And as they do that, at the end of the month, they might have enough left over to splurge, like maybe buy a steak or something.
Wow.
That they normally wouldn't do. So that helps. But still, they still don't have enough money for medication. And we're trying to tell them, you know, hey, you guys got to go tell your doctor what you're not taking and what you can't afford, because, and they're going, no, they don't want to tell the doctor that. They you know, they don't even, won't even tell them, you know. So it's, there's a lot of, it is horrible. And then, you know, in the ID side, you know, Diana was talking about on the ID side, we get, people can get IDs and then they'll get stolen, you know, and if we don't get to them within 30 days, they're going to have to pay for a new ID. So, so it's just educating them as much as possible and trying to get, and we have bulletin boards of other agencies. We network with all kinds of agencies, and everything that we do here is absolutely free. So the agencies that we network with, they have to be able to present their agency absolutely free. So Helping Hands Hawaii comes in here. We give them tables. Blue Jay cell phones, we give them tables. People can get cell phones for free.
Really?
If they're in that USDA standard, which is what we are asking for from the beginning. So everybody that comes here can get a Blue Jay cell phone. So there are some requirements, but that a little bit, but it really helps. So the cell phone is absolutely free. I think they get like 250 minutes a month, and if they go over 250 minutes, the cell phone shuts down automatically, and then in the first of the next month it kicks in again, so they never get a bill, so they never have to pay.
So what you're doing is actually you're feeding everybody, but when they come, you're also assessing their issues and helping them with many other issues, maybe housing or to get the ID or directing them in the right places. That's just amazing.
Directing them to the right places too, and bringing the agencies in. Because see, what this place is like, we have three loading docks. So every time we're open, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we'll have all the chairs. We have the whole loading dock area, which is out of the sun and the rain, and just lined with chairs. There's rows and rows of chairs. So they all come in and they sit down in the rows of chairs waiting for their ticket number to be called. So some of them could be waiting 2 hours. So when we bring these agencies in, it's a perfect opportunity for them to take advantage of these other agencies too, like Helping Hands Hawaii. They will do first month's rent, and you have to come up with a deposit, and then they'd have to and then they'd have to be able to prove that they could sustain the rental for at least a year. And if they can prove all that, then they'll fund it. And then they don't give them the money. They write the check to the landlord. So, But then you got people out there, too, that they're so much on the edge, maybe 3, 4, 5 kids, husband and wife, just struggling, can't pay their utilities. They have no water. They have no electricity. And they have all these kids, but they're still paying the rent.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really sad too. You know, that's really not a good place to be. But they're, again, they're scared to death to not pay the rent because they're going to go homeless.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
So there's a lot of need out there, and like Diana was saying, you know, there's a lot of people trying to help, but there's just not enough money to really do it. So we had a benevolent ministry for a while that we were actually doing IDs and stuff like that, and helping with electricity and water and everything, but those funds dried up. And we do have one person that does give us some money once in a while, but it's not even, you know, not even enough to really go around, maybe help one person every 6 months or something. So it's not really anything substantial.
So because I know there's times where you're ready to run out of money and have to close a shelter, which helps. What's a guesstimate of how many people you're probably helping, right? Would you say that you're feeding over 3 million pounds of food a year? That's quite a lot of people.
Yeah, that can be about 700 to 1,000 clients that come in weekly that we're helping to sustain. And concerning the finances, I want to just, you know, put a shout out to many foundations, which, yes, you know, grants does help us to proceed on. Hatherton Foundation, Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation, Petrus Foundation, businesses such as Hinano, Tanishan Ware, and also Sub-Zero, so many, Aloha United Way that we're a partner agency with, Combined Federal Campaign we're also a partner agency with, and then Word of Life Christian Center. Many of these do help us to sustain, to stay open. But we have the individual donations that come in monthly, our faithful people that give. And Hawaii Food Bank, you know, we're able to get that food that is given to them out to the people. And just to give understanding to your listeners, the Hawaii Food Bank is the bank. No family or individual can go to them independently to get food. They're the distributor to the pantries on this island, you know. So we distribute the food out for Hawaii Food Bank. So, you know, that's how it sort of works. And just to give you you know, a shout out to Aloha Harvest and even bakeries that, you know, a lot of food that they bake, you know, they can't really sell it, you know, being overnight. And so they give to us to get it out and so forth. So there's a lot of support. You know, networking on this island is the best thing to do, just like Charlie was saying, to have us tables to get the word out. You know, people may say, well, they get food stamps. Why can't food stamps just support them? Well, an individual may only get $80 worth of food stamps. And, you know, that can't be stretched for a whole month. So, you know, we're all helping to sustain these people in Hawaii that has nationwide highest electricity bills and the highest rents forth. And so affordable housing is very important to consider as well.
Oh, my goodness. So if people want to donate right now, they can go to feedinghawaiitogether.org?
Yes, correct. They can.
And go to the donate page, and they can donate with a credit card. Or they can, they'll see the mailing address, too, and the mailing address, if they want to donate by check, they can send it to the mailing address, which is different from the address that we're at. The reason why 615 Kiawe Street, we don't get mail here anymore, is because they were stealing the mail.
That's terrible.
Yeah, and so we put up with that for a little while, and then after a while, somebody just ripped off the whole mailbox. So we said, okay, that's it. We got to change our mailing address. So we got a different box in a different location. It's just two blocks away. But,
so, and the address again is, if people want to come in, it's a Kiawe Street?
Yes, 615 Kiawe Street. It's just second building to the left off of Queen Street, Queen and Kiawe. And there's a bus stop right there, too. And it's really, if anyone that's on the bus has a bus pass and needs to come in here, all they have to do is call the bus station and say, how do I get the Feed in Hawaii Together? And they know us very well.
Wow.
They even came in and did a little chat time with all of our clients, you know. So we get somewhere between 25 to 50 new clients a day. And it's just growing and growing. Yeah, it's growing like crazy.
You have
and
such
then
a good
another,
system in place. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is. The system that we have is you know, mainly with our Carl Elmore, eWeb Development. He came in and he really fixed this up with a very nice computer system to track everything. And we could not do, you know, sometimes we have 400 clients a day, sometimes even higher. And there's no way we could do that, you know, and track them without this I forget what you call it, technical.
Like their shopping cart type of database type of
Well, yeah, it's Yeah, because we check everyone in on computer, and we check them out on this weigh scale. They go in the clothing department. We track everything that comes in and goes out. We inventory everything in and everything out. And then another exciting thing that we do is which is coming up real soon, is the Christmas giveaway. Diana, tell her about that.
Oh, good.
Well, yeah, every year we have like a Christmas store of all items that were donated that are definitely nice and decent enough for parents that, again, can't provide their children with gifts. So our clients are able to come in on a Friday evening, and we're hoping maybe to expand it to a Saturday afternoon as well this year, to come and walk through and pick up items for their child and for them to individually go home and wrap them and say, this is what I got for you for Christmas. So, you know, we try to, you know, give these families a peace of mind and sustain them so they can go forward. Giving hope to people is the main thing, that life is good.
So many situations, I mean, it could be domestic violence. There could be other situations that are just shutting down their whole psyche and their way of living, you know, that can happen. And it doesn't even have to be a job loss. It could be so many other situations that, and people feel stuck and don't know where to turn, right?
Exactly.
You know, you get to know the clients and so forth. You know, a lot of people wonder, they drive by a food pantry and they see somebody piling into a nice, beautiful new truck. They look like a new truck with food. Well, getting to know these people, they've lost their jobs, and maybe they were able to afford this monthly rate of a brand new truck. But see, a lot of people don't realize they just lost their job, and they're not able to buy food. And they have a fancy car that probably will be repossessed in a few months. But, you know, try not to judge people. We're all human, and so we kind of look at each other like, well, what's going on in their life? Well, we try to get to know our clients and so forth, and we all police each other to know that, you know, that these people are in need, and we do have signs up that may challenge some people, you know, but to get a rule out that selling this kind of food is not, you know, legal. Because a lot of people do have in their mind, you know, to pick up food and then sell it on the streets to maybe,
I hadn't even thought about
survive
that.
A habit. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen very much. But,
since,
you know,
1993,
so
we've only had three incidents at that. Three.
Well, you know,
Bringing that up is that we all police each other. And so having a sign up like that is just, you know, most people, when they see a rule, they'll be obedient to it. That's most, majority of our people, yes.
Yeah.
They will.
Yeah.
When they see a rule, they'll be obedient to it.
Wow, it's amazing how it's just, from a psychological standpoint. Let me ask you, when you see somebody, I saw a gentleman, there's a lot of times with homeless, I'll buy them food, you know, I'll buy food. They'll say, can you give me money? And I say, well, let me go get you some food, and whatever's nearby, I buy them food, because I don't want to give them money. I'm just saying, on the street, when you see people, I don't want to give them money to go buy alcohol or drugs, right? So what do you do?
Right.
Yeah, but you know what you have to do? You can buy them food, but do not give them the receipt.
Oh, my.
Because
they'll take it back.
You got to take the receipt out of the bag. And because a lot of times, like if you go to a fast food place and someone's asking you, I'm hungry, can you buy me food? You go up there and say, okay, I'll buy you all the food you can eat. And then they'll say, well, I got someone else, you know, under the bridge over here, and they need food too.
I've had
say,
that
okay,
happen.
I'll buy them. Yeah, then you say, okay, I'll buy them food too. So, but you take the receipt out of the bag, hand them the bag, and if they open the bag and start rummaging through the bag, then you know already they're looking for the receipt to return it.
So they learn a different way of living altogether when they're out there all the time, aren't they?
Yeah.
Really,
yeah. There's a chronic homeless that you know is really needs help, and you just don't want your money to turn into drugs or alcohol.
Well, you know, the other day
that's not helping them.
No, the other day I was driving and there was a guy that was in the road coming in, you know, in between cars when at the stoplight and asking for money, and he was scratching and totally out of it. You could tell he was out on drugs. You know, he was scratching,
yeah.
and he had scabs on him, and so people were giving him money, and I just thought, oh my gosh, I want to give him food. I don't want to give him money because it's not going to help him. He's
you're
just going to go feed
right.
his habit and die. And I know one time on the Denny's in Waikiki, a woman said, elderly lady said she was needed food for her, she and her husband. I said, come on in here in Denny's. And I said, get whatever you want and to go. And she ordered a lot of, you know, two things of food for both people, you know, and which was, I was fine. And the woman at the register said, she comes in here all the time. She's making more than me, you know. I was like, oh my gosh. So, and the manager approached me when I left and said, you know, be careful because, you know, the churches do help him and help. And he said he was homeless for 2 years before working at this place in Waikiki. And so I said, you know, for me, with my heart and being Christian, I feel like, okay, we do have scammers out there, but we also have the majority are really honest people having a hard time, whether it's mentally or homes or houseless or, you know. So I just feel like if at least we're giving something, but not the money, not enabling the habit, that's got to be
right.
good because
exactly.
I don't want to because, you know, people can become cynical and just say, I'm not going to give anything because I don't really know who's, you know, whatever. So with what you're doing, you're guaranteed if somebody donates to FeedingHawaiiTogether.org that it's going into the right hands, that it's being monitored, that it's being put out there appropriately, and you're feeding so many people, and you're feeding them also through, you're feeding their spirit and soul and their life. You're putting them to where they can live in a community, right, and giving them.
Yes,
I didn't realize.
Exactly.
I didn't realize you did so many other things with it. I knew all these years you've been feeding and feeding and feeding. I didn't realize that you were kind of assessing everybody and helping them in whichever direction they need. That's amazing. It's just
It is amazing to see the transformation. And we had last Tuesday, Tuesday before last, we had this homeless guy that, He was just, you know, we tried to get food in her stomach, you know, and he is just so punchy. He's aggravating everybody and, you know, wanting to fight with everybody and everything. And so one day I was driving by the, about a block away from the pantry, and I saw him on the side of the road. So I jump out of my truck and I go up to him and I say, you know, if you want food, if you really need food, all you have to do is come in there and say, please and thank you. Please
right.
and thank you. Because he knows me, right? All
right.
So we're saying, I'm telling him that that's all he needs to do. And I said, can you say that? And he goes, puts his head down and goes, please and thank you. I said, good. Do that. Come in there and you can get a lot of food. Just come in and say, please and thank you. So he started doing that, and
wow.
and this last Tuesday, he had this one of our clients that is very, very talkative, started talking to him, and he was engaging in a conversation with
wow.
him with her, and it was
good.
Amazing. They were talking for about an hour, and that is
That's
something
tough.
That I never thought would happen, you know, with
wow.
this guy. Because he was, and he, now he's just really nice and smiling and happy, and he's still homeless. But you know, the homeless a lot of times we'll let him you know come in 3 days a week, you know. So, but he
wow.
it's just transformed his life, you know, and he's still homeless, but he's really happy now.
He's come a long way. Then he sounds like he's come a long way.
He's come a long way. So if we could get these, you know, I want to pick on a certain group of people, but I will. If we could get these people that are building all these high rises, probably making billions of dollars to do shelters that are really, you know, shelters that they can call home. A lot of the people don't want to go to shelters because they can't stay there all day. They have to leave. When they wake up at a certain hour, they can't
yeah.
leave their belongings. So they have to take them with them. So, you know, if we had you know, even a homeless camps, you know, where we could establish on the beach, that because some of them want to be on the beach, you know, find the beach and,
sure,
and give them hot water and give them, you know, barbecue pits and things like that, or gas powered barbecue pits, you know, just put a little money into it, you know, and you know, if we, the best thing to do that I think to solve the homeless problem is to get a whole bunch of different homeless people to talk to people that have the power to help. And that would be a home run. That would be a slam dunk. So some of them want to be, you know, with a roof over their head. Some of them want to just have a tent. But they don't want to be put, you know, up in Waianae, up in the valley, and with no bus service.
But
you know,
on our islands, one good thing is they're not going to freeze like on the mainland. Many freeze in the winter. You know, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, how are you going to, like, right now to keep on going with? I know I've heard the funding's drying up, and there's just not as much money out there. How are you going to do it? I mean, you're going to, we want people to donate at feedinghawaiitogether.org, but what are your plans now at this point?
Well, we had we're on the verge of getting some kind of real help, and we applied for this grant that was $1 million grant. They don't give you $1 million, but they spend $1 million on you for advertising, and we were in the top three for that, and we didn't get it. So that would have really, you know, pushed us over the edge of being able to be established and possibly even open up a second one, because we'd like to open up a second one too, somewhere in Waimanalo or Waianae or something like that, or maybe even both. But because the need is great. But, you know, we only have one paid employee, technically. And everyone else is volunteering, including me. So, the thing is that, if somebody, you know, can volunteer some advertising time that knows what they're doing and, you know, even like this talk radio, you know, this is getting, you know, people are hearing us and they're seeing. And, you know, things like that, these little things, you know, cause people to give, because, you know, this is Hawaii, and I mean, anybody can come here anytime that we're open. I'll give them a tour. I can show them anything and everything, our books and everything. So, you know, this is right. We're right in Kaka'ako, right where all this homeless stuff is going on, you know.
Where all the high rises are coming up and they're having the homeless issues, and people are complaining, and they you know, there's got to be a way to make it a win-win, like you're saying. If monies could be put into, you know, having designated areas that are going to work. We have those areas over off of Sand Island. Are there areas there that may work that are close enough, or there's so much space or warehouse
Sand Island
space?
Would be. Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
But then they'd have to have a lot of ventilation.
Yeah.
They what?
Well, the shelter that they're starting, our city's starting that shelter. I think it'll be open in a few months in Sand Island, which is very interesting, because they're going, it sounds like, and maybe somebody can correct me, but it sounds like they're going to be allowing, you know, the chronic, which have alcohol and drug problems, to still continue with some of their habits and so forth, you know, which is a good idea. It's, we're trying our best, you know. We have Waianae Homeless Shelter out there. We have the Next Step Shelter right off here at Frontage Street. We have the fantastic IHS that has been in existence for a long time, River of Life, the Mission Downtown that feeds. We have so many resources and so forth. It's just getting into their mind to start thinking a little bit better of themselves and getting affordable housing. You know, there's these developers that Charlie brought up, the millions that they're gaining from all these high rises that are not affordable. If they could build more affordable housing, that would really be a benefit to everybody.
Just
here.
Give back, right?
Not
come back and give back. They really need to start giving back. And,
you know,
well, how do people contact you? But Yeah, feedinghawaii.org. I'm sorry, feedinghawaiitogether.org. They go to the website to contact you. Is there a phone number they can contact? The pantry?
Yeah,
or
the phone numbers are, the phone. Our phone numbers are, both of our phone numbers are on the website. And
okay.
And so is our email address. And so
okay.
they can contact us through there. And so feedinghawaiitogether.org gives us all the information. There's a video on the website too, can watch. That's kind of like a little bit of a tour, but it's.
What if somebody
yeah.
in your if they're listening in from another area, which we have a lot of listeners that do listen in other areas, and they want to try to get in and start something like this? It sounds like you really have it so such a great system. Could they contact you and maybe get some
yes.
advice on where to go
absolutely.
And how to make this?
Absolutely,
it sounds like. You have a one-stop shop almost, you know, it's more than just,
yes.
I know people can go to social services and things like that, but that's just a little, this is where you're actually feeding every day.
Yeah. So you hit the nail right on the head on that one because you know, we would love to have people that want to duplicate what we're doing and
okay.
we can help them do it. You know, outer islands or this island or whatever, you know, it's if the more the better, you know, but
right.
you know, there's some, so, you know, it takes time to get it going unless somebody got this huge grant to just do it. We haven't been successful in that yet, but you know, on our midnight hour of closing this last time that, you know, we told you about, somebody donated a substantial amount of money. That it, to us is a substantial amount.
Wow.
Most nonprofits are they just get hundreds of thousands, and we just got a few thousand, you know. So
wow.
it wasn't, you know, a really huge amount.
Everything
helps. With us, you know, if we had like people giving $10 to $100 a month. That would probably solve our financial
yeah.
problems for the facility
and everything.
There's
actually a statement, you know, to feed a single senior citizen for a week is $10. To feed a single
That's
parent
all?
And a child for a week is $15.
Yeah.
To feed a family of four for a week is $25. To feed a large
wow.
family of six for a week is $40. So every little bit helps. Every little bit helps, and you can make a difference. So many people have hearts. What can I do? What can I do? Well, this is what you can do.
Wow, that's
yeah.
wonderful. That's,
even if it's just
yeah.
$5, you know.
Everything helps.
Yes, yes, it does. It sure does.
People can. Wow. This
yeah.
is our. We're almost. Can you believe we have about 7 minutes left? I can't believe how time flies so fast on this show. We what you're doing is so amazing, and to our listeners out there, it would be great to donate to feedinghawaiitogether.org. Even in your own community, you could try get together and maybe help a family in your community. Maybe there's two families, three families, five families, and nobody knows about them, right? And could try to get into a systematic way of feeding that family, right? I mean, there's just so much people
yes.
can do.
Yes, absolutely.
Support
we don't
your,
ever think
yeah,
about.
Support your local food pantry. That is making a great difference. Support your local food pantry.
Yeah, because you know, you always think about the homeless shelters, but not what you're. You know, what you're doing is just incredible. You're stopping it before it gets to that drastic point that is so close.
Yeah, we are.
Many
people's
lives.
Yeah, we are keeping people from going homeless. It is a fact. And then, you know, I want to just talk a little bit more about the Christmas giveaway.
Okay.
You know, Diana talked about it a little bit, but see, what we do is we the last Friday before Christmas, she already told you that, is when we do the Christmas giveaway. But the thing that we do is we rearrange the whole pantry pretty much, and we line tables up that go all the way down to the back of the pantry and back around, so it's like a U shape of tables. And volunteers come in, and we just mound toys and gifts and everything on all these tables because we've been accumulating stuff throughout the whole year. And right now I'm looking at this huge teddy bear, the big yellow teddy bear. And then under the tables, there's all the leftovers, you know. So the volunteers are over there, and these kids. Okay, so two things happen. One thing is like what Diana said, where the parents come in and they can take it home and wrap it, like saying this is a gift for you. But we leave it up to the parents. We tell them we can let you bring your kids if you want to. And they can pick out their own gifts. And that's a really exciting time when the small kids come in and they when they see all this stuff, you know.
Wow.
They just run and go to one table and then go to another table. They don't know which table to go to. Some kids have gotten their first toy from here.
I bet that really
Five, six, seven years old.
Lightens up the parents' heart to be able to do that, where so many take it for granted.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah. It's so exciting and so, you know, rewarding. You know, it's just I wouldn't want to do anything else.
Wouldn't want to do anything else. This has been wonderful. You both are angels. I tell you, you really are angels. And
we enjoy it. We don't really feel like we're angels. We're just doing it because we believe in feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and giving them household needs. You know, and that
you're giving
that
them
we'd
hope.
End up
you're
in
giving
landfills.
Them a purpose. You're giving them hope and a purpose, right? And hopefully they. With the hope and a purpose and the drive, and the first thing they always say is, you know, you have to feed your hunger first, right? To be able to do, it's if you're hungry, you can't think to do any other things. And
you're really
wonderful. This again is Charlie and Diana Lorenz. They're executive and assistant director of FeedingHawaiiTogether.org. You're listening to Really Universal Radio. This is Natalie Mullenix. I just for those of you, you can go to FeedingHawaiiTogether.org. You can also contact us at RealityUniversal.com, and we'll forward the information as well. It starts with helping one, huh? You started years ago going through experiences yourself, and then started and one thing led to another, which led to another, and look at it now. It's snowballed into amazing. And, I wanted to ask you, because I meant to ask, and we only have a couple, 2 minutes left, really, is do you think it's gotten much worse now, or is it pretty much status quo with the hungry and the homeless?
Oh, no,
In Hawaii. Yeah?
It's worse. Because, you know, okay, so say, for instance, husband and wife on Social Security, one of them passes away. So they get some more, a little bit of benefits from their spouse, but not as much as what they had. So that person is now paying rent on their own, trying to get food, trying to not go homeless. And it's just, and also what happens is they're and this is an affordable housing right here in Kaka'ako. Their rents go up every 6 months. Their rents go up. Social Security doesn't, and then the cost of Medicaid and Medicare comes directly out of their Social Security check. And that cost is going up. But the increase of Social Security doesn't match it, doesn't even match it. So when the government's saying that we gave an increase of Social Security, the only people that really benefits is your kupunas, you know, your elderly are living for free in a relative's house. But when they have to pay all of their bills, electricity, water, rent, and everything like that, it is devastating.
They can't do it.
They're just
it.
Slipping backwards. They're slipping
and
backwards.
And then mentally,
you
know, too, because you're, it's
yes,
terrible.
Yes, because then they're just on the edge. And we had these beds come in, you know, and we gave away over 1,000 beds in this one remodel of Waikiki in a hotel, and this one lady was 80 years old. It was 80 years old, and she was 70 years from 70 years old to 80. She was sleeping on the floor.
Oh my God. Horrible.
In low-income housing.
And that's not what we planned. You know, people work so hard for so many years and then
yes,
change on a dime.
Sleeping on the floor.
That's horrible.
That is not acceptable.
At 80 years old, no.
Yeah. And you drive down the street, you see all these really nice beds that's out to go into landfills, you know.
Right.
And, you know, it's crazy. You know, people think that their rubbish needs to go to the dump when, you know, you give it to somebody that would put a big smile on their face, you know, if they can connect to them. We connect to them.
God, you've been a baby.
Yeah.
We've run out of time already. I can't believe the hour went by just like that.
Oh,
just like it's so fast.
Well,
we'll have to have
thank
you back.
Thank you so much.
We're going to put
thank
this
you
out
so
there.
Much,
oh, you two are angels. Really, you are. And I just mean it with all my heart. And we're going to put this out here, too, because I know you've had this going for 20-some years, and it's getting tougher and tougher. And like you said, even a $10 a month donation, you know, $50, it helps. It helps. And it's amazing to me they can feel it. For a family of four and $25, that's great. So if anybody out there is thinking, well, my $10 isn't going to help, that's not true. It's going to help a lot.
Yeah, it's not true.
And,
it will help a lot.
And, so.
It will.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, and we'll have to have you back and see what we can do and get some more people out there too and keep going. And you're in the right location too. That's to try to make a stand.
Yeah.
Hopefully. So we're gonna sign off now to everybody out there. I wish you peace.
Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.